From Bates Nursery and Garden Center, just north of Briley Parkway on Whites Creek Pike, and worth the drive from anywhere. It's the At Home Show, answering your questions about your home, your garden, and your projects. Now for two gentlemen best known for pioneering the concept of social distancing. Josh Carey and David Bates.
Oh yeah, everybody knows what that music means. It's now time to climb a tree, don your loincloth, and survey the backyard, because you got to find the project you got to lay it in the unmarked grave. First, you welcome in everybody. It is your Saturday morning tradition. It's the At Home Show. My name's Josh Carey.
And my name is David Bates.
That's Michael Stevenson sitting to my
certainly
left.
Certainly is.
And we're here for you. We're the Saturday morning crew. We are a tradition. We've been coming to you for parts of two centuries, two millennia, four decades now, David Bates. Yeah. We're getting old.
Yeah. And working towards our 23rd year of broadcasting together. So of all of those things that we just said don't make sense, that's okay.
That's okay.
There's much of what we say that really doesn't fully make sense.
Because we're working on our we're just toddlers here on Facebook
We are working
and all the social
weekly
media platforms.
Trying to
strongly towards doing a weekly program,
improving what we're doing here. And our motto here is trying to make it a little better every week. And we're going to hopefully not make this week the exception. Let's start off with the weather, Josh, and give it a look. You see up there on the screen, there's a whole lot of sunshine up there, which looks really attractive, and some seasonable scattered thunderstorms. Today is going to be sunny, a high of about 80 degrees. Could not be better. Calm winds going to come out of the north at about 5 miles an hour. Later in the afternoon tonight, mostly clear, a low of about 57. North wind, 5 miles an hour. Becoming calm in the evening. On Sunday, it will be sunny with a high near 78 degrees. North-northeasterly winds at 5 miles an hour on Sunday night. Mostly clear, low of about 54. I mean, how much nicer can it get? North-northeasterly winds at 5 miles an hour.
Be a low becoming, about 64.
Becoming calm in the evening on Monday. It will be sunny, a high near 83 degrees. Calm winds picking up to about 5 miles an hour later on Monday night, mostly clear, low of about 61. And as we go on through the week, you will see that it looks really nice. We've got wonderful conditions. We've got sunshine. We've got a little rain as we get after we get past Wednesday on into Thursday and Friday. It looks like in the first of next week. But though that part of the forecast is largely just a seasonal
stuff.
Yeah, you know, that far ahead, you can safely say it's going to be raining somewhere.
Sometime,
pretty much every day. And currently, it is 65 degrees here in the Music City.
It is going to be a glorious day. There will be no excuses today, folks. This is what we call a work day. You can get out and go procure products. You can get out there and plant products. You can clean up. You can work around the yard.
Well, you should absolutely should clean up. You don't want to be a dirty gardener.
No.
I got to clean out my car. That car that we might be buying for Catherine is finally in. So we're going to trade in my Prius. But I got to, like, when I say I got to clean it up, I mean, I got to clean it up. Like,
you don't mean a little bit of cleanup. You mean like a lot of cleanup.
Yeah,
right?
Like I want to be spinning.
Get the old, what was the old commercial? The old French fries from underneath the seat of the
sunflower seeds. I probably have 3 pounds of sunflower seeds.
Okay.
In the car. I'll show you when we leave. No. Like it's, I'm surprised I don't have a sunflower garden. If you look up there, that's what I made Catherine for anniversary last night.
Oh, yummy.
He's really proud of that.
I am very proud of that.
Tell us about your grill there, Michael.
That is a Weber Performer grill. And she bought me that for Christmas about 4 years
that,
ago.
Is it true to name? Does it make you a performer, or is it the grill that performs?
Oh, no. I was a performer before I got that grill.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, nice. I'm the best. I'm one of the best people on the grill that I know.
And the most modest,
yes.
Obviously.
I'm really proud of my the grill stuff. If that particular grill there, Weber calls that the gourmet barbecue system, that particular rack. The middle pops out, and you can put in a bunch of different stuff.
So you can make it look different, the grill marks on it.
Yeah, so like that's the steak sear, but they got another one that sits down in the middle. You make like beer can chicken with it and put like veggies all around. They got like a pizza stone. There's all kinds of stuff.
Could you put like a Dr. Pepper in there instead of a beer can?
Sure.
If you were into that kind
I use
of
apple juice personally. So,
apple juice.
Yeah, apple juice.
Yeah, that would work.
It's good.
I bet. Okay. Now, where, what part of the chicken do you put the pop can into?
Well, the only side that will fit, Josh.
Oh, okay. What's now, I think true barbecue, don't you true barbecue aficionados call it beer butt chicken?
I don't, because I barely cook that.
Oh, okay. Because it's a pain in the rear.
Yeah, I'm sure it is for the chicken, too.
Yes, it is. But it's hard to get done. I was never particularly successful in doing
what we always ended up having to do is we'd put it on there. It would cook through mostly. And then, because you can take it out, it's got handles on it. And then I'd obviously put it on a tray, and then we'd finish it off in the oven is typically what we'd do. Because you're right. I mean, that grill... I can get that grill up to about 700 degrees.
Okay, why do you want to weld anything on your grill?
You can melt lead and that kind of thing. Just a little bit.
You guys haven't had any of my steaks or anything else I've cooked.
No. And have we said that we wouldn't eat them if they were brought?
Were we invited?
I have not heard that. Okay. So
nobody was invited except for my wife.
Speaking of invitations, we're going to invite all of you out there who are viewing us to take an opportunity to, if you haven't already, if you're happy to see us on Facebook, to share us out there with your friends. We really appreciate that.
Start a watch party, folks.
Yeah.
Get everybody up.
Also, we're out on YouTube, so if you're there, we'd love to have you subscribe to our channel. That way you'll get little notifications to say, hey, we're going on the air. So our typical time slot, is what we have done to this point, is 8 to 9 o'clock on Saturday morning.
But as part of what we try to do and improve every week, it's simply so convenient to see the at-home show because you can watch it any time of the day now. Right. 366 days a year.
You can watch it on demand.
Yes, you can.
And you
without
know,
fees.
And, you know, we all are all about demanding.
Yes.
We all have a list of demands. And, by the way, we're not demanding. We're just requesting that you pick up the phone and give us a call, 615-499-6690. Now, the good thing about that number is like our program, you can time shift your question. You can call in at a time that suits you, and you can ask whatever question you want. You can leave a message.
You wake up in the middle of the night.
We can call you back.
Got a question about the garden.
You know, there is a little issue here, Josh.
What's that?
That's going on at the proving grounds, as you would kindly refer to it as. And we touched on this last week, and we're going to see if we can get that up there. And here's a little montage or a collage of photographs that shows the before images on the top up here. You see where I'm pointing. And these are these little orange marks here are showing the rotten boards.
Well, those are the ones that were chosen to be replaced anyway.
They're so what you're saying is...
There's rot, there's seasoning, there's a lot of other
things
going
on. Of the ones that you selected, how many of those were just merely seasoned?
I didn't select them myself, personally.
Okay.
But they were, again, it's really a strange situation. Now, and what is happening, and if you'll look at the lower right-hand corner.
This one down here?
That one down there, that's rotten.
Okay. Yeah. Well, now, you can see that. That floor joist right there is got a big chunk out of it where it's just absolutely disintegrated.
And something's happening, and I don't know that it's necessarily a problem with the wood, but there's some sort of interaction going on with the fasteners. Now, they are just simply...
You talk about the streaks that are showing down the lumber there. Is that an indication of
it? There's a little something going on there, but what has happened is that the fasteners are deteriorating much faster than they should. In my opinion, should.
You know, I've seen that myself, and I think it has, you know, previously treated lumber used a different kind of treatment. It was not...
All different kinds of chemicals were used, but I mean
but
primarily...
The copper methyl arsenate was the one that was...
Copper chromate,
or CCA, yeah.
CCA.
Yeah, that was a really good one, but they got taken away from us.
It did, for the most part, and it's still available in for... specialty uses, but in essence, what has happened, this deck was built during a certain amount of transition period that was going on between two different types of chemicals. But It's really, really odd the way that the way that these things are failing. But you know, to solve that issue, that one was a fairly easy one because that was the only area of actual deterioration that I've found so far. But I simply scabbed another board directly beside it and secured it, and we're ready to rock and roll.
And no one is the wiser. You can't see it.
Well, I've just told the whole world, David. Right. So, I mean,
so they are the wiser.
They are wiser. They are. But the biggest problem with this particular structure is that when I hired the guy to build it, he did a fantastic job to the point that there are a lot of really customized deck boards involved.
A lot of really neat little cuts, multi-angle cuts.
Multi-angle cuts. He did some ripping. He went ahead and routered the edges and did a lot of other things, which after 12 or 14 years, and we've got natural shrinkage and decay, it makes it that much harder to bring it back to life. And if you don't have the proper tools, you got a new grill.
Okay, let's look at the lower the lower left photograph there where you show that you have replaced several of the boards. You've got new 5/4 deck boards on top there, and obviously they're going to be a different color. Now the deck that you had existing was that had that been stained or tinted or treated in any way?
Yes.
All right. So what are what's the plan going forward with the new boards?
Well, my neighbor, and because we talked about going for the variegated look last week. He says I wasn't man enough to pull that off.
Like the variegated yuccas
again, where we could have a yellow board and a red board and you know, some other things. He says I'm not man enough to pull that off.
Well,
yes. So, but in hindsight, it's going to be much easier.
What did you say to that?
Isn't there a better way to say that, though, instead of saying I'm not man enough?
No, he just came right out and said, you're not man enough to pull it off.
Oh, you're not man enough.
Me.
Yeah. Pointed at you.
He didn't point. Okay.
No, but you knew who he was talking to.
Yeah, I knew who he was talking to. But anyway, going forward, because of the way that the nature of the cut pattern was done, the dimensions that are going on here, it's going to be a lot easier and much more aesthetically pleasing to just try to get some sort of uniformity to go across.
Now, if you've got comments about these
variegations,
about this project here.
My manliness.
I know that we've had this up. It's been up there if we could be viewed for a couple of days.
I got a man card. So
and did you tell me that we had a
we've got some phone calls about that.
Let's kind of see what kind of gauge some of you know opinion out there. Let's see what we got.
Are you ready to be the object of ridicule?
Okay, I'm good. I'm good.
Yes. Good morning. This is Rufus, and I'm calling about the picture that you got up there on your Facebook page about that looked like a stump or something growing out in the yard. I think you ought to take a chainsaw and maybe work on that. Is that one of them there Bradford pear stumps, Mr. Carey?
That is.
Thank you for your show.
Okay, Rufus.
Are you a hypocrite?
No. I mean, I didn't even notice there is a stump in the background of that lower left picture there. And you know, now that you mention it, it is curious. It's just standing out there.
That's actually on city property.
Oh, so you're not allowed to cut that down.
I can do it. It is a shared.
See, he can do whatever he wants to on the one hand, but he's not man enough, depending on who you ask.
That's true. But that tree was not a Bradford. It was an old shagbark hickory, I believe. It might have been one.
So how long has that stump been there, Josh?
Quite a while. That's actually deteriorated quite a bit.
You're just waiting to see how long Mother Nature takes.
It's just a mile marker. Because, again, if you've noticed the way that the yard is, there are shared properties there. There is actually a small ditch that's right below the, I call them smoke bush. Is that what the big red trees are there, Dave?
Catinus. Yeah.
What?
Catinus.
Catinus?
Catinus cagigrea. Royal purple. It's a royal purple smoke bush.
Yep. Okay, but that stump was actually that's just the remnants of it that have been going there. But it's kind of a marker, kind of a corner post between a couple of neighbors and that share the yard because the yard is very odd.
We've got a call about those red trees too.
We do have. Well, we like those red trees. Okay.
Yes. Good morning. This is Julius, and I was looking at those lovely red trees in the photograph on the Facebook page this morning, and I was wondering, what is causing the roots to grow out of the ground that way. Looks almost like a stump in the yard. I think I would pick that off.
Okay.
Would you pick that off?
Is it like a, I think it sounds like that. You've ever seen the little stump growth habit roots that come out of a bald cypress that's growing around water?
Knees. I think it's
the knees, right? I believe that's what the caller was referring to. He thinks that's a knee from the smoke bush back there. So
I think Julius was it.
I think that's what it was. Yes.
No, Julius. I think it's technically on city property. So I mean, it's some.
No, those smoke bush are those whose property are those on?
Not mine.
Okay. But you didn't obviously. Somebody else.
No, actually, when that tree went down, it was huge. I mean, it was probably about, you can see where the remnants of the stump are. It was probably almost 4 foot in the caliper right there at the base. There was a massive tree that just came down.
Oh, so yeah, all that's left is just a part.
Yeah, it fell away from the proving
ground. Only
grounds.
A part of the stump even remained sticking up above the ground. That's just a little
it was a bird feeder station for several years. Hmm. I mean, again, I used to put seed out there for the, you know, for the birdies and little stuff like that. But no, the smoke bush they're absolutely glorious. They were beautiful this year, but they're getting a little out of hand. I mean, they're getting a little.
Well, they do have that ability, and I will say that my better, decidedly better half, Renee Bates, is an avid trimmer. She will cut our smoke bush. We've got one in our little front planter. Mm-hmm. She really cuts that thing hard every year, and then for good reason, because they do just that. So if you want to keep them in bounds and keep them looking nicer, but the time to do that is not now. I mean, you can do it now, and it won't hurt them, and it will probably still flower. It might flower again anyway, but most of them are budded up. Many of them already have the smoke, you know, which is the little buds and the pods on top of them. So, you know, they're already displaying that most of the time. So,
well, when the tree went down, there were about five of them that actually got taken out when the tree fell on top of them. And that is the regrowth, and they came back together. I mean, it's a beautiful hedge. I mean, it's a very, very.
So do you have neighbors on the other side of it?
I can't tell. Can't see through the smoke.
So you've never walked over there out of curiosity to see if there were neighbors over there?
Walk in somebody else's yard without permission. I mean,
you could be like that Simpsons meme, you know, where it shows Homer going out of the bush and then back in.
Well, actually, there is a ditch there, and that we see several creatures come up because that ditch will run, and there's a pipe that runs all the way up to Front Street there, and they 37167 615-499-6690. But back to the deck issue.
By the way, Alita Robertson's greets us this morning and says good morning, and right Earl. Back at you, Alita. Thank you so much for tuning in today.
And Earl shared the stream. So, Earl, thank you very much for sharing.
Everybody should share.
Everybody.
The stream.
Yeah, all you have to do is hit that button. It says share right down there at the bottom.
They'll win a coveted no prize if they do so.
The no prize.
I don't know if you guys remember. I doubt you read Marvel Comics in the 80s and 90s.
No.
But if you got your letter featured in, like, whatever particular comic that you were reading, mm-hmm. it would say, you win, you know, if you had a really good question, you'd win the no prize.
The no prize?
Yeah, the no prize.
Did you ever enter remember in the back of the comic books where you had the drawing contest? Did you ever enter the drawing contest?
No, by the time I was...
That was before his time.
By the time I was reading it, all those people had become the people drawing the comics that won the contest, probably. So it's...
It's 615-499-6690. Join us, folks. We're here for you. You can call us, and
got some more calls.
Okay.
Faye Patton wanted to know if you had any yellow peonies and if you had hydrangeas.
Well, the yellow peonies we have had. I can't tell you if we've got them right now on the show or not. However, you can go to our website over at BatesNursery.com and just type in peony in there, and it'll show you all that we have remaining. It'll give them to you by name, and you should be able to click on the individual links, and it'll tell you what colors of those are. I know of the Ito peonies. I did count. We're down to maybe only 7 or 8 of those, and those are extremely popular. They are a cross between an herbaceous peony and a tree peony, so they don't require staking. They're much more resilient to leaf problems. that kind of thing. And they don't, you know, they don't flop. So they're very nice. They're a good looking shrub, even when they're not in flower.
Are their ant attractive properties sufficient on these peonies?
Oh yeah. Okay. Oh yeah. They still got that.
I mean, because they will bring them in.
No, was it hydrangea? Was the other?
Do you want to know if you had some hydrangeas?
Red ones.
Okay, red hydrangeas, which would be a garden variety, and you know we've had this, you know. The hydrangea macrophylla, which is the big leaf.
Bless you.
Yeah. He's using bad words again.
The big leaf hydrangeas. And those are ones that are really very adept at handling. They really should be in an eastern location where they get morning sun and are shaded during the hot part of the day. That could also be accomplished by shade trees or some structure. The point of it is that they're not great at a full hot sun afternoon situation. So now, as to whether we have red ones on hand or not, again, you got to go search that one out. The inventory changes quickly, and I apologize for not knowing that off the top of my head, but there's many more things. If it was a cultural thing, it could probably help you on that. But red ones, again, go out to our website and type in hydrangea.
There's culture.
Cultural. Cultural. Oh, like agricultural.
Yes, things that you do to enhance the future growth.
Because you got some of them hydrangeas right here.
We do have some Annabelles right here in the front. And, of course, Annabelles are...
I want them to be blue. What do I do?
Well, those won't turn blue, Josh. Unless you spray paint them, they don't turn blue. These are only white. They'll come out kind of a green color. And then they turn white. And then they go back to a persistent kind of a green color, which I really like that phase of them as well. But the difference between these and what she was asking about in terms of hydrangea, these love full sun.
Okay.
So if you've got a sun application, unfortunately, they don't come in red. However,
they don't come in blue either.
No, but there is a pink variety of Annabelle hydrangeas that does have a rosy color to it. So there is that option if you have full sun. So
now you guys sell the holly tone and all that kind of stuff to help change the colors of it of certain hydrangeas.
Yeah, that's of certain varieties of like a Nikko blue hydrangea, for instance. If it is in an alkaline soil, it's going to be more on the blue end of the scale. If it's alkaline and deficient of aluminum, but if you lower the pH by adding sulfur to it, that will change it to pink. If you do that with like aluminum sulfate, it will make it more of a closer to a magenta color, depending on what levels that you get in there.
So magenta.
You can actually change it. That is not just a pH dependent thing. It also has to do with the level of aluminum that's available in the soil. So there you go on that.
Margaret wants to know which varmint makes the circular round dirt mounds in the yard, moles or voles?
Well, it's going to likely be moles.
One of the two.
Out in the yard, it's going to almost certainly be moles, because the voles are there for different reasons. The voles will typically dig around shrubbery because they eat those tiny little tender roots. They love those, and of course it's very destructive.
Hostas.
They are very destructive to plants. So one of the things that you can do is to put down an expanded shale product around hostas or other plants that have vole issues. So that can be,
because it hurts their little feet.
They can't get in there and dig in it, but they're little above the ground rodents that burrow down to eat, whereas moles live in the ground and they'll come up out of the ground to cross the street or whatever, but typically they live under the ground all the time, and they're not there to eat roots. They're there to eat earthworms and night crawlers. They do eat some grubs. They don't eat those as much. I tend to believe that they really only eat those if there's no earthworms available. So that's the difference. So if it's out in the yard, almost certainly is going to be a mole and not a vole.
All right.
615-499-6690.
You want another call?
Sure.
It's up to you, man. You got the power.
Well, no, you keep talking, and I'm just trying to get a word in edgewise for these people. I'm the voice of the people here.
You the rock, the people's champ.
No, the voice of the voiceless is CM Punk. Let's be clear.
Uh-huh. Punk.
CM Punk.
Okay, CM Punk?
The Cookie Monster.
Cookie Monster of Punk.
All right, anyway.
Okay.
All right, what you got?
Yes. Every year, just about, I have a giant sunflower to come up. And it will have multiple blooms on it, sometimes as many as 20. Wow. And it's probably 12 feet tall, 10 to 12 feet tall. It's huge. And it has to come from the bird seed. Hmm. So I'm just wondering if they, if you know what kind it is, or, you know, it can. I've never been able to buy any that was like that. So just a curiosity question, I guess. Thank you.
That is a good question. I don't know that I know the answer of it, but and the good thing is apparently she won't ever have to buy one. If she keeps feeding the birds, they're going to keep coming up.
That's actually my mom, because I just recognized the number, and she's right. I've seen that sunflower. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That thing is almost as tall as the light pole it's next to.
Yep. So, you know, they're very cool to grow, and, you know, of course, they're huge, and they will get quite large. And, of course, depending on where you – it is coming up and growing, if it's in enough sunlight, typically they're strong enough to stand on their own. You might have to stake them. You know, some heavy winds are really...
He knows how to cook a steak, though.
We've seen that at the outset of the program.
Now, does Mama use striped sunflower seeds or black sunflower seeds? That would be...
I don't know.
That's a pertinent question, because those are two different varieties.
She's listening, so I'm sure she can text me and tell me.
She's probably, I'm going to guess she's using the striped. No, I'm thinking she's using the striped is what I think. Now, I could be wrong about that. Okay. I don't know.
Well, the stalk on this thing is like that big around. It is enormous.
They're absolutely gorgeous when they're up and going like that. But
yeah, they're definitely coming from seed, and you let... You know, the birds and the squirrels and all that are not always all that neat about eating, and so quite a number of them make it to the ground. And when you have a spring like we've had this year, very easy for some to germinate, and you can choose to allow a few to come along.
That same plot that sunflower comes up in, she also has a bunch of volunteer tomatoes plants that come up in there, too, every year. There's just...
Now, is this over in an area near the garden where she may have had a compost pile at some point in time?
No.
No? Okay.
Did she ever plant... At some point, she planted a tomato over there, or...
Yeah, she did used to have tomato plants there, but after that, she didn't have to plant anymore because now they just come up.
Now, these mostly like little salad tomatoes, little...
Cherries or...
Most of them...
Those are very prolific fruit producers and seed producers, therefore. So, because of that... They'll reseed, and if you don't pick all the fruit judiciously, you're going to have some come back up. So, you know, she's in a state of perpetual state of tomatoes, mm-hmm. the way she currently is.
Well, she doesn't know the kind of seed either.
Okay.
And she doesn't remember what color it was.
Mm-hmm. It'll either be solid black or it'll have a stripe on it. Well,
It could be. If she's buying both. A bird mix, it could very well be some of both. Yeah. It could be. But that would be the one that I would want to see which way it was going.
All right.
You can go out there and do your homework. Go see Mama.
615-499-6690. You can pick up the phone and give us a call. We'll talk about what you want to talk about. It's a busy time for a lot of folks out and about in the garden. People are really, this has been one of those extremely unusual years in that we have had long stretches of really nice mild conditions. It's been one of the most long enduring springs. There's been a fair amount of rain along the way, has it? We haven't had flooding gratefully, but all that is to say that it's a great time to get out and get your gardening done. And we want to invite you to come out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And Josh, we're how far north of Briley Parkway?
0.9 miles.
Now most people will determine it to be a mile, but from Josh's calculations, it's 0.9. So, be that as it may, a mile north of Briley Parkway.
The big black Dodge truck had a digital odometer on it.
And you didn't turn from the other side of the bridge, which will add that other tenth of a mile.
Or if you go to the secret entrance, you could probably get that tenth of a mile. It could be about the same.
There's no secret entrance.
Yeah, there is. There's a back door.
No, there's not.
615-499-6690.
But anyway... While I'm on the subject of Bates Nursery, give me just a moment before we move along.
Okay.
For all you gardeners out there, Michael's talking about volunteer tomato plants coming up, and a lot of people maybe won't get them voluntarily. Matter of fact, if they're going to get them, they're going to have to plant them themselves. We are coming down to the time of year where our because of this incredible amount of interest in vegetable gardening this year, our suppliers are running out. So if you've been thinking about planting a vegetable garden, you need to stop thinking and get out and procure and get that done, because selections are going to start running out pretty quickly. So I invite you to come out and see us at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. We have a great selection right now, but I can tell you that it's going to start dwindling fairly quickly. So come out and see us. And maybe vegetables are not your thing. We've got a great selection of all types of flowering plants as well, either for sun or for shade. And it's not just about annuals. We have a great selection of perennials, both for sun and shade, and landscape selections galore, whether it's trees, ornamental grasses. I just happened to notice what a large selection of ornamental grasses that we have this morning. I was doing my shopping for the display here, I was looking around, and we have a huge amount of that and expertise. So if you've got questions about your landscape, take photographs with your smartphone or a tablet and bring those along with you, and our landscape professionals will look at your unique landscape situation, help you get the right plants in the right place the first time. That's the way we do it at Bates Nursery and Garden Center.
You really should come out here and see this place, folks. I am not kidding you. Michael and I are very privileged to be out here every Saturday morning.
Despite what Josh says, it is 1 mile north of Briley Parkway. At exit 19 on White Creek Pike. Just minutes from Rivergate, Opry Mills, Nashville West. Worth a drive from anywhere. Come out and see us. And thanks for tuning in.
I don't mean to be taking sides in this, Josh. But so when I've come here through the week.
From the other direction, though.
Now, when I come here through the week, I've been down over there on Charlotte. It's a mile. When I get off of Briley Parkway, it's a mile.
Well, see, Josh is directionally centric. He only comes from one direction.
Yeah,
So what Josh would have people doing is stopping somewhere down the street. The people that come from West Nashville, they'll be stopping down the street. Josh said it's 9/10. This must no, it can't be down there. It's only I've already gone 9/10. It can't be here. So
Very firm, right?
615-499-6690. Yard Boy wants to know where you get them. Where you get them shales at the beach?
Shale.
You know, he was talking about that that aggregated shale for the varmints.
Well, there is a product.
You get cockle shales.
There is a product in the Earth Mix line called Enlighten, and it has a dual purpose. And one of the things it's used for is, as the name would suggest, it creates porosity in compacted soil. So you can add it and do it, incorporate into a soil mix. It also can be used as a top dress or a mulch around things like hostas you mentioned, or other things where you have vole problems. And by doing so, they have very sharp little heat this shale to expand it, it breaks into these little particles, and they are quite sharp little things, so that the voles won't dig them out, because it will cut their paws, so they will move along to other areas. So the product is called Enlighten, available through Earth Mix Garden Products.
Yeah, and Bill Hayes during the week, he came and got some kohlrabi and had quite a crop of kohlrabi.
I saw that.
He wants to know what to plant. Now I suggested pork chops, because if he's got kohlrabi.
Yeah, I don't think you can plant pork chops, Josh.
But you sure can grow some pigs.
Okay. You can grow some pigs, and you know they're and he knows how to do that part already. He's got the pig thing down. But not Bill Hayes. I'm confusing him with Yard Boy. But
he didn't. You got the two of them confused.
It's just a slip of the lip. Anyway, you're going to have to be thinking about warm season plantings now. And, of course, the whole gamut of things such as okra, peppers, tomatoes, in the space that you have kohlrabi in, if you planted one vine of squash or a melon or a cantaloupe, that's going to take over a huge area. So you probably want to stay with something like okra or a tomato or something that you can keep relatively confined to an area. Pepper plants would be great. I just had some potted up this week because, I'm a real fan of the really hot peppers, the ghost peppers. And
you got to rub some of that on your hand?
No, okay. I'm not going to do that. Okay. I actually get to go see my doctor this week, so I'm thinking I'm getting down to about 2 weeks away from having these pins removed.
I got the needle nose up.
How's the physical therapy?
We got carried away. They over-instructed me, and I was having extreme pain. And fortunately, I happened to run into my doctor. He says, no, I don't want you doing all that. So thankfully, we got that back down to where that I can, patiently wait until the pins come out, do a little bit of flexibility on the end of my finger and the finger next to it. But so it's coming along. I'm just trying to be patient.
We have a text message.
Oh, a text.
And it is from Kay Matthews. She's the one that sent in, the drooping flower.
The drooping flower.
I don't know the name of the flower.
Oh.
It looks like a yellow loofah.
Pendulous.
Anyway, she says, good morning. I have a very sunny area that drains poorly.
Uh-oh.
Yesterday, I pulled a plant that managed to hold on for 4 years but was drowning, and I could no longer bear to see it. What might grow in a semi-swamp?
Well, IKEA is a good choice.
And they have great furniture, too.
Now, that's IKEA, Josh. IKEA
always get that confused.
Also known as a sweet spire. And Henry's Garnet is one of the varieties that you'll find very available. The Henry's Garnet sweet spire, it has flowers on it right now, these white little panicle flowers that are little lengthy panicles. It also has a beautiful green foliage during the growing season, and in the fall it turns, as you might expect, a garnet red color. So it gives you interest during multiple times of year, and it's very adept at handling wet feet. So if you've got a spot that you can handle a shrub that'll go 3 feet in height, pretty easy to keep it to about that height. IKEA is a really good choice. So IKEA or ITEA, by the way, Josh, so you know.
Yeah, you go up to the front of the store and they've got this hot dog. Oh, man, they're amazing.
I think that's still a different place you're talking about. But anyway.
No, man.
Sweet spire. That's a good thing to remember right there. So sweet spire is a great choice for a wet spot.
Technical question here for Michael. Michael, Earl wants to send us a picture that we, if you want to go to the regular Facebook page, yes, you can. You can go ahead and post a picture there. Can he text it to the phone number? Okay. Text it to 615-499-6690. That way we can share it and get it over here.
Michael can text that to me, and then I will.
We'll send it down the line.
Yeah, we'll send it.
We'll move it up.
It takes a few steps going that route, but we can make it happen.
That way we will be able to pay attention to what's going on to the live, and then we'll be able to get it up here and maybe even get it up on the big screen, because that's what I call it.
It is pretty big.
It is a large screen.
Well, we don't really have a green screen.
We call this the green room.
Yeah.
There's a green door, and the building is green.
The building outside is green-ish.
The room within the green building.
It's a green room.
The green room.
Yeah. Why would you want to call it?
You could call it the T111 room.
You could call it that.
The suspended ceiling room?
Just doesn't quite have the catchiness.
The only other name that would fit this place is the cabin.
The cabin.
The he shed.
No, stop.
The we shed?
Stop. No. Stop.
No? Cabin?
No.
I did speak.
The green room.
I did see Greg Hall out here last week.
And oh, my goodness gracious.
He's pledged that he will grace us with his presence and, I'm guessing, maybe a guitar. So hopefully we can get him on here in the coming weeks and let him,
As things loosen up here, folks, we may be able to bring some different ways of having some different
folks. Yeah, we got to kind of look at how we're going to arrange maybe slightly differently.
We'll make Greg sit over there.
We're going to have to knock out a wall.
He will have to sit because he can, he's a pretty tall guy. He could stand up in here, but it was close proximity.
There's a rumor that there may be a large pink-shirted person from Portland in studio within the next few weeks as well.
Wonderful.
The one, the only, the legend in his own mind and ours.
Yeah, he's a legend in quite a few minds.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure exactly legendary in what way, but there is a legend.
What picture am I looking for? Because someone sent us a bowl of cucumbers.
Well, that would be we could identify that for sure.
That's what it looks like to me. It's a bowl of cucumbers or very green potatoes.
Those are kohlrabi. That's Bill's. Yeah. That's the remnants or the prepared portion of
they've
it.
They've long since been eaten.
I don't know that I've ever had kohlrabi.
Oh, I love kohlrabi. And it's such a great cool season crop. But that's the best thing about it. You know, there's a lot of things in gardening. A lot of people approach gardening as just a summertime endeavor. Mm-hmm. And if you're doing things such as kohlrabi or broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cauliflower, cabbage, kale, all those things are very much cool season plants. A lot of people start those even into late February. So, and you need to, because to have enough cool season to get those to maturity like Bill's done, you need to get an early start so that you can have a opportunity to get those harvested and get your warm season crops in behind.
Yeah, Bill says, I have to say that the Bates veggies do quite well in the earth mix.
Yes, they do.
They do.
Yes, they do. E. Mark Sandler wants to know, every year my pear trees are profuse with fruit that disappears every July.
Is it because you're eating it?
Does it have to do with the tree trying to conserve the water resources?
Well, it could possibly be that. Now, one of the things that it could be, you know, Mother Nature's little lovely creatures that are participating in thinning it. But what it also could be is the fact that they simply are producing too much fruit. And one of the things that it's difficult for people to do is to thin their fruit on their trees. And when you get an apple tree or a pear tree or a peach tree, you know, you're looking, oh gosh, I've got all this fruit on it, it's just covered up. Well, that's not a good thing, because you need to thin that down. And generally, you know, you want to be able to establish a spacing, maybe extend your pinky and your thumb like so and go, well, I'm going to
do that
off
with the other hand.
Well, it's more painful with that hand.
That's therapy. I'm going to do therapy this morning.
I'm not doing it. They told me not to do that.
So, oh, okay.
I've found I'm allergic to pain.
Really?
Yes. It's,
you break out in hives when you're under duress.
It's distracting, to say the very least. It makes me preoccupied. Painful.
Yes, it does.
I can't think about other things.
Spacing of the fruit so you can maximize.
Remove the extra fruit, because the tree can only support so much energy. And by thinning the fruit, you're not only going to have better fruit, because you have the same amount of energy going to fewer, they'll also be larger, and you'll be more likely to be able to get those to fruition. Now, sometimes there are, I don't know what exact variety of tree, it was a pear. Is
a
that
pear
what it
tree.
Was?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I don't know exactly what variety of pear that it is, obviously. So it's hard to speculate as to, you know, if it's doing what it should be or not, or if it was really an edible pear that was planted there, or whether it's an ornamental or kind of a wild pear that really doesn't produce a whole lot of good edible fruit. So a little difficult to say. If you want to take a picture, send it along. We'll try to take a look at it. Maybe that will clarify it a bit, but hard to say precisely about that.
It was a little odd spring for the pear trees, too. I think the blooms didn't stay on quite as long as they normally do.
I think it was a more difficult spring on crepe myrtle than anything else I've seen. Because
it really was.
Because they got zapped twice. They put out new leaves two different times and got zapped. And I don't think I've ever seen that happen two times before. So there's a lot of
the crepe myrtles that I've got, they look pretty rough. In ways,
yeah. Well, there's some dead canes that have come as a result of that. There's going to be some pruning that'll need to be done, and you know, we don't confuse that with what we refer to as crepe murder.
No,
but sometimes you do have to rein a crepe myrtle back in and selectively prune some canes out of it, or if it has just gotten way out of bounds. You know, the biggest mistake people make with crepe myrtles is planting a variety that has too large of a growth habit in an area that it outgrows. It just, you know, it can't be contained within the area. So that's why people frequently are in a situation where they have to cut those back severely. And of course, crepe myrtle flower on the current year wood.
Yes, they do.
So if you cut them, they'll still flower this year. It just at this stage, it'll just delay the blooming a bit later.
All right. We got a voicemail from Bobby.
Okay. Bye.
My name is Bobby, and I have a question regarding a summer wine 9-bark that I purchased. I purchased it 2 or 3 weeks ago, a 2-gallon pot. Planted it on the east side of my house. It gets a lot of sun, but over the last 2 weeks, it has lost all its leaves. However, the leaves aren't on the ground. It almost appears like they have been stripped off the stalk, and we do not have deer, so I'm not sure what could be happening to the plant. Is it transplant shock? But it almost looks like the top of each stem has been nipped. The stems are still very tall, but there's no leaves. It's almost like somebody's taken their hand along each stalk and just pulled the leaves off, but there's no leaves on the ground. Would love to hear any advice about how to save the plant or what I could do to help it. Thank you.
Okay. Well, the first thing that I've got to do, she absolutely qualifies that she doesn't have any deer.
Yeah, because it sounds like something's grazing. And, you know, and deer.
Watch out for the antelope. It really does.
She probably doesn't have antelope, but deer are a distinct possibility.
They're more on the west side of the house.
Almost, well, that's where they play. I don't know. But on the east side where she's got this one, should not be a problem. But deer definitely can be. And sometimes we have deer and we're not even aware of it. As a matter of fact,
we have deer here, dear. I promise you that. I
mean, and you know, we have all manner of wildlife that you're that
raccoons, bears.
My wife cougars. Put out one of these motion sensitive cameras in a spot where something was digging in the yard, and I mean it was like a roll call of Mother Nature of everything that came by, and you know, including domestic animals, but raccoons, possums. Armadillo.
Oh man, Catherine would freak out if I did that.
Squirrels.
Cats, rats.
I mean, well, there was no
flying
rats.
Squirrels.
There were no rats.
You didn't see them.
No.
Okay.
Well, I mean,
snakes. I mean, I live in Bobby. I live right in the center of Smyrna, Tennessee, and I sent David a picture a few weeks ago of a pair of yearlings standing in my front yard. I mean, dead center of Smyrna, Tennessee. So, I mean, that they're here. So you look down at those little pointed little feet down there, maybe down around the area around on the side. If it's mulched, you might not even be able to see it.
Yeah, my suggestion would be is to cut it back maybe about a third of the way back and fertilize it. Just keep it watered. Yeah. It's not dead. It's probably, I don't know, if you left that message today or if it's been a couple of days ago, but it's going to start putting out new leaves again. Mm-hmm. Now, here's the next thing. If it is one of our friends that we think that it is, they're going to come back.
Yep.
If you say the leaves have been stripped off, but there's no evidence of them on the ground, something is grazing those off of there. So
now she called it a 9-bark.
9-bark. Uh-huh.
Okay. Well, now what is a 9-bark?
It's a physocarpus.
Oh, it is. Okay.
Yes, that's what a 9-bark is. I don't know what happened to the 8-bark or the 10-bark, but the 9-bark is we had one in here in the studio a couple of weeks ago.
Physocarpus.
Yes. It has this particular one she's talking about has a kind of a burgundy red foliage on it. It's a very attractive foliage, and apparently to some animal, likely deer, it's tasty. And the nature of the way deer are is that they just don't stay put. Nope. You know, they'll come through and graze and they keep moving, and they frequently come by, particularly at the outset. They'll come by in the middle of the night. You're asleep and you never see them. So you might want to put, if you've got one of those little nature cams you can put out, take some pictures of it. You may be surprised what's going on out there. So I would suggest you do that. And that way, at least you'll know what's going on.
And if you do have a Ring camera, turn on the motion sensing where it's not just where you have the
button activated.
But, well,
if you do that and you have an American flag hanging on your front porch, tell it to ignore that area, because I forgot to do that and I'd get like 15 notifications a minute.
Or a large bug flying near the camera or a baby squirrel
but you might
walking
want to see
on
the bug.
Driveway.
You might want to see the bug.
But when the crazy dog in the household, every time the Ring bell goes off, that's an alarm. Okay. Mm. Okay. When the chimes go off, that's an alarm.
When we hear ours, Sam goes, uh-oh.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, nobody, the cops aren't here yet.
All righty. 615-499.
Nobody's ratted us out.
We have not had a tour of the display today yet, David. So
yeah, well, we've got, it's been so long ago since I put it up. Maybe I should stand up where I can take a look at them, but I'll see if I can get it from memory.
Maybe we could get Nora to describe what we have here. Oh, was it? I saw that finger. Okay.
She said, nope.
We have a fourth mic.
And Nora McGarry, by the way, is the capable hands who's doing our video part of our production. We thank you for that, Nora. What we've got is a flare down front on the floor is a flare Nandina, which is a very attractive, more of a dwarf type, but more upright growing, but doesn't get so big, and it's not a fruit producer. And a lot of concerns with Nandinas are that they are can be invasive. That's a big concern with a lot of plants that that we and everyone else has sold over the years, is that, you know, are they invasive? Do, in fact, birds eat the berries off of them and cast them elsewhere? You know, you're talking about your mom's sunflower. Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's some of those that get deposited elsewhere, but
they cycle through
by nature's little carriers.
Yes.
And I've got some little dwarf barberry in behind there, and those are a mounding type. Again, those can become problematic of some of the larger growing barberries. These stay quite low, so they're much easier to keep within bounds. There's a kaleidoscope abelia down in the front.
Abelia?
Yep, that has kind of the yellow and orange colored foliage on it. And many people will associate abelias correctly as being a flowering shrub, but some types that I've got up here are some that are quite colorful, even when they're not in flower. These actually are more showy due to their foliage and less so to their flowers. So a twist of lime is this taller variegated one that's in behind there. Abelia is a good color, and really what I'm trying to accentuate today around the studio here is how much color you can work into your landscape that doesn't have to be necessarily be blooms.
And we also have corn. You call these yuccas?
We got yuccas back here behind you. And
like the desert plant, the yucca plant.
That's what that is. You know, there's a golden sword. Actually, the one in the middle is a different variegated type than the ones on each edge. And Josh, tell us the name of that one right there and behind there.
Butch.
No, the given name on the tag. That's a
Adam's Needle.
No. Look at the name on the tag there.
Color Guard.
Color Guard is what.
Color Guard.
Yep. So that's a new variety, and there's so many new varieties that come out.
Butch.
Yeah. Well, if you have it at your house, Josh, you can call Color Guard whatever you want to call it. But you notice the difference in the foliage, how that the Color Guard has much more stiff foliage, where that the Golden Sword weeps over quite a lot more. So anyway, there's from Highlight Arborvitae here to Guardian Blue Cypress. There's a lot of things you can put in your landscape that will give color and interest throughout the season that are not necessarily flowers.
Wow, isn't that special? By the way, the these will poke you. So I mean,
yucca, yes.
Now let's go back to the barberries. Now that low growing barberry, that is the poor man's security system as well.
Well, but these stay so low that I don't think it's going to be secure against anyone but toddlers.
Because it will fire you up if you get one.
Well, the one that will really fire you up is Pyracantha.
Pyracantha.
And interesting, you hear me spout off Latin from time to time. Pyracantha comes from two Latin words, pyro
fire,
and canthos.
Can.
Which means, canthos means thorn.
Sterno.
Thorn.
Oh, okay.
So it is
a fire thorn?
A fire thorn is the common name for a pyracantha. And if you get one off into your finger, you know why it's called it, because they have little scales that come off and leave you a little reminder.
Over.
So those are quite a detrimental. They encourage you to stay on the sidewalk.
Yes, they do. When you go to shear them or to cut them back, you need
leather gloves are strongly recommended.
615-499-6690. That is the number to dial to join.
A lot of people have a lot of questions about what and when to trim. And as a general rule, right now, unless you're pruning deadwood out of something that say a fig has got some dead limbs in it, or a crepe myrtle that's got some dead limbs in it, that's the kind of pruning that you're likely to be doing right now. Other things that you would want to prune, they're in full flush right now. It's not the preferred time to do it. Actually, take good notes of the things that are really growing well right now that you see are putting on a lot of growth, and try to remember next year to do that before they start flushing out. And you will have to endure a few weeks of them looking stubby, but it will only be a few weeks if you time it correctly. The new growth will pop right back out. They'll look beautiful and lush again. Whereas if you've got a needlepoint holly, which a customer sent me a picture of, I've never seen one that was 14 feet tall and 12 feet wide. I didn't know they could even get that large. It apparently had never been cut back. And she was wanting to know if she could. And I said, well, it's okay with me.
They're fine.
They're going to be pretty stubby for a bit.
You're going to need a permit to probably cut them that big.
There's going to be some pretty sticky stuff to pick up also. So you might even have something that large. You might even want to get an arborist to come in. You don't think about an arborist having to trim a shrub for you, but sometimes they get really big. You know, it's a chainsaw kind of a trim. It's had stems on it that were, you know, 3 inches in diameter.
And a root system like you would not believe if you decide to try to take this thing out.
Yes, you were going to have like a big wrecker and a chain to pull that out if you were going to go.
Earl said that he sent that picture in via Messenger. He's not, said he wasn't very comfortable texting it.
So
he sent it on Messenger?
Yes.
Oh, come on, buddy. Let's see if we can find it here. We'll have to go back to the main page. Via the Messenger.
Hey, while you guys are looking for that, I want to talk for just a moment about Earth Mix Garden Products. And, of course, we're very thrilled to get to offer Earth Mix Garden Products here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. And there's also a rather extensive network, ever-growing network of vendors and sellers of Earth Mix Garden Products all over Middle Tennessee, Kentucky, now also up into Indiana and Ohio. And you can go over to the website earthmix.net, no matter where you are. Go to earthmix.net, and you can click on the Find Earth Mix tab, as I did right there, and then the map will come up, and it will show you all the locations. And you can either type in your address into this box right here, and it will give you, and you set your radius for how far you want it to, how many miles you want to drive.
Or your diameter.
Right. And it will give you directions to the nearest, and you can see they're on up in Ohio and Indiana. There's Greenfield Plant Farm up in Mainesville, Ohio. And then we've got Bloomington Valley Nursery out there. And then, of course, you can go down to Chattanooga, Barn Nursery. So all over the Mid-South and in the Ohio Valley, you can find Earth Mix Garden Products. And Earth Mix Garden Products are unlike a great many other products in that they're really designed to be highly productive without having to use chemical things to enhance their growth. We make use of what Mother Nature offers, and that's things like the microbial activity, very living soils, or whether you're using Earth Mix Garden, Proganix O, Proganix I, supernatural compost,
watch out,
all of the above. Earth Mix Garden Products will get the results you're looking for and do so in totally organic and sustainable fashion. Remember this, success in gardening begins at the ground level. And you use Earth Mix Garden Products.
All right.
Made right here in Nashville.
Nashville, Tennessee. Now, David, this is Earl's pictures. He sent them on Messenger. That's a really secure platform, by the way.
Okay, Dave.
It looks like a U to me.
That is a U to you.
To me?
That is a U, yeah. Mm-hmm. Or Texas. Is
Texas?
Nothing.
Not a Ram. It's a U. Okay.
Not a EWE, but a YEW.
But it's 10 feet tall.
Or a YOU for that.
Oh, that's true. But it's about 10 feet tall. Yeah. It's just been pruned in a different fashion.
Yeah, and when you cut a conifer, of which a U is a conifer, they don't respond to trimming the same way that broadleaf or deciduous plants do. That is to say, if you cut it back severely, it won't necessarily make really good breaks back out of the wood. As a matter of fact, sometimes it will just flat out kill them and it won't respond at all. So
probably puts out a really pretty berry at some point in time.
Well, but now the one thing about everything associated with you, they do have a red berry on them. They are poisonous.
Berry.
Don't eat them. And, you know, there is a cancer-fighting compound called Taxol that is made from them, but they are all parts of the ewe are poisonous. So cattle that have grazed, got over into nursery fields and have grazed on ewes, that's the last grazing they get to do. So, you know, it's widely used plant, but it's not anything that you have to have concerns about, but you don't eat it.
All righty, Earl, thank you for doing that. And again, everybody, you can do that anytime. You can post to the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates Facebook page. You can see us on YouTube.
Yep.
You can see us on Instagram now.
Twitter.
We're working on LinkedIn.
We're hoping to hear from the folks.
If you know anybody at LinkedIn, tell them we're legit.
Tell them to do it now.
Okay, go out there, get your podcast, because the show will be up in just a few minutes, and we can get us anytime. Next Saturday morning, we're going to come back for another hour of the At Home Show with Josh Carey and David Bates from the Green Room here at Bates Nursery and Garden Center. Michael, thank you for being here.
You're welcome.
Nora, thank you for being here. David Bates, thank you for being
here. Thank you, Josh, for being here.
And thank you all for being here. Share, subscribe, do us a favor, and join us next Saturday morning right here on Facebook Live.